Netanyahu has been here in the United States all week long meeting with different members of the U.S. government, and there's some big news to share from that. Three more hostages are going to be released this weekend. Phase two hostage negotiations have already begun with a little bit of a twist from the Israeli government, and the U.S. has placed maximum pressure sanctions on Iran again. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, February the 7th of the year 2025. Here's the news for the week. All week long, Benjamin Netanyahu has been here in the United States meeting with the president, meeting with the Department of Defense and his staff and team that he's brought with him, meeting with the State Department and both leaders of the Congress. And there's a lot of news to report about what has been going on. When he arrived and he met with the president first this week, he was greeted by this staff and went to the White House. They had a little greeting, and then their teams got together and started to go to work. There is a report that Netanyahu came with a, quote, new plan for dealing with Gaza. And then there's a report that says, no, he did not present that plan. So it appears Netanyahu came prepared to talk to Trump, but Trump had some things to share with him first. You've been hearing it all week long. It's about this idea in Gaza where the Palestinians would get out of Gaza and there would be a rebuild of Gaza to make it a better place. Of course, all of that plan is based on no Hamas and the Gaza Strip would be disarmed. Well, Israel is interested in that as well. And at the first press conference with Netanyahu and Trump, that's the subject that came up. However, there's more to that than necessarily what you just heard. And that's what I want to share with you today. First of all, I want to tell you anecdotally, Netanyahu brought President Trump an interesting gift. Apparently, it's a gold-plated pager, like the pagers that were sold to Hezbollah leadership. It's mounted on a board, and it's sharing with President Trump their very successful operation of taking out leaders in Hezbollah by blowing up these pagers that they all had on their belt loops. So he got a gift of one of these gold-plated pagers given to him, which is kind of interesting. Trump's plan began to dominate the whole discussion with Netanyahu, and as I said, Netanyahu and the staff that he brought with him all of a sudden seemed very agreeable to it because it's even better than what they were hoping for. The plan that Trump has is to relocate Palestinians that are in the Gaza Strip into other nations, such as Egypt, as well as Jordan. They have other Palestinians there. And of course, you've heard Egypt objecting, Jordan saying, no, we can't do that. And he just keeps saying, no, that's what we're going to do. And he's saying it in the context of a rebuilding plan for Gaza to rebuild the homes and make it a habitable place. Because quite honestly, at this point, Gaza is not inhabitable by any people, let alone the Palestinians. But here's the bigger thing that is going on that is really catching the attention. Trump's plan doesn't just include Gaza. It includes what we call the West Bank as well. And in fact, this week, the U.S. State Department made an edict that says we will no longer refer to that area as the West Bank. We will refer to it as Samaria and Judea. And that's the definition that Israel has for the land, not what the rest of the world and not what the Palestinians call it. Essentially, what we're talking about is, without them saying it directly, we're talking about the end of the two-state fantasy that the world has been operating with since back in September of 1993. If you'll recall, Bill Clinton met there with Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin, the big handshake at the White House lawn, and talking about forming a two-state solution for Israel, a Palestinian state coinciding with an Israel state. That plan has never worked, And all these years that everybody's been working on it, and the last president, President Biden, kept harping on the same subject again, it has proven itself to be unworkable. And anybody that has any kind of common sense can tell that. Part of the reason is because the Palestinians don't want it. The Palestinians don't want Israel and the Jews to exist. So how are you going to have a two-state agreement if one party says, I don't want the other party to exist? Well, Trump has finally said, what are we doing here? We're just repeating what has failed in the past. Let's start thinking outside the box. Let's come up with a real solution. So his opening parlay, if you will, was to talk about Gaza, but there's more at stake. It's really about ending the two-state idea and coming up with a one-state called Israel, with the citizens that live in that land, Israeli citizens, and agreeing to live there in Israel. He also met with, Netanyahu met with the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. He made a couple of announcements, and the DOD announced 100% support for Israel militarily. And they are now putting together a $1 billion military package for Israel. This is over and above what's been going on. And in particular, there's a big chunk of that package that's going to be 4,700 1,000-pound bombs, half-ton bombs. Now, you've heard the bombs that Israel has been using in the past, supplied by the U.S., 500-pound bombs. And then there was a question about some 2,000-pound bombs. Those are one-ton bombs. They were held up by the Biden administration. They've been released. But now the U.S. DOD is going to supply to them 4,700 1,000-pounders. Now, let me explain what that means. These are basically dumb iron bombs, but they are bombs that you can mount the electronics on the front of it, controlling fins on the back of it, and turn every one of these into Israel as smart weapons for it to be dropped on precision targets. And this gives them the necessary ammo to deal with all of the situations going on with all of their enemies around them. And so that's the reason why the DOD is saying Israel has 100% support. They now have the ammunition and the support to do whatever they need to do in the Middle East dealing with their enemies. He also went to the Congress, and when he met with the Speaker of the House and the Leader of the Senate, they all pledged to him that there will be more monies coming to support Israel in all of the projects and the harm that they have incurred to help them to rebuild accordingly, plus passing laws to put sanctions on the International Criminal Court. And as you know, right now the ICC has issued warrants for the arrest for Netanyahu and other military leaders, and the U.S. and the Congress by law is going to go after the ICC and shut them down and stop all that nonsense that is all geared to against Israel and not really dealing with the situation fairly or accurately on the criminal court standpoint. They're also removing all support to the UNWAR campaign. That's the UN relief agency. Not only has Israel outlawed them there, but the U.S. is also saying, we're agreeing with you and we're not going to support them anymore, and to also turning to other nations to tell them not support it. So the UN is being knocked back on their anti-Israel campaign they have been carrying as well. These are massive changes for the U.S. government. This weekend, we're looking for three more hostages to be released. In fact, today, as I do this broadcast, we're supposed to receive the names. And then tomorrow, on Sabbath, three hostages will be released. At the moment, we think there are three men that are going to be released, and this is causing great concern. The original hostage negotiation plan that we're in the middle of said women and children and the aged would be released first. Well, we've seen an old man that has come back. We've seen some ladies that have come back. But there's a big question about one particular family, which is the Bibas family that I mentioned to you in the previous weeks. The father came back last week, but we haven't heard any word about the mother and the two children. There is a rumor that they're all dead. We pray not, but there is great concern because they're not on the list, and they haven't been released to date for it. I can only imagine the outrage that is going to be felt on the part of Israel and anybody else that has any morality in their life as to what that's going to mean if that mother and those two children come back in body bags. Furthermore, when we begin to start receiving dead bodies back, and by the way, in this plan, 8 of the 33 hostages to be released, they know are dead. When those dead bodies start coming back, that's going to change the whole pallor of how we view this agreement with Hamas and this release of hostages. Some of the prisoners that have been released by Israel, the report is that some of them have gone to Turkey. I'm not surprised by that at all, because Erdogan in Turkey is interested in making moves on the rest of the Middle East, and they're trying to budsy up to the Palestinians at this particular point. Turkey has always supported Hamas in the past, and so we can see their hand is at play in what's going on in the present negotiations. The IDF is preparing to let Palestinians leave Gaza. That is a major change. At the moment, Palestinians are trapped in Gaza. They can't leave. But the Defense Minister Katz has told the IDF, get ready, because we're going to be releasing Palestinians out of Gaza. That goes hand in hand with Trump saying, let the Palestinians go into the other countries, such as Egypt and Jordan, to get out of there, because quite honestly, they can't live in Gaza. There's not enough civil support and homes for people to stay there. They have to be refugees and go somewhere else. Every other war has refugees that leave the war zone, but in this Gaza war, the Palestinian refugees are not permitted to leave Gaza, and other nations don't want to receive them. This is what makes this Gaza-Israel war so different from all the others that have taken place. In Israel, there is incredible sentiment that is building about the way this deal, hostage deal, is unfolding. To put it simply, Israel is demanding all the hostages come back. They are not satisfied with the deal as far as only this first 33. I think that was to be expected, and that was the criticism when the deal was first put together. But that sentiment to get all the hostages back, it's also felt by the leadership in Israel, as well as President Trump. They want to get those hostages out of there as quickly as possible. You're not going to solve the problem in Gaza with Hamas until we get those hostages free. So there is discussion, and this is the reason why when the Israel sent their delegation for the second phase of the negotiations, they're there only to talk about the hostages being released in the present ceasefire. They are not having discussions about phase two, hostages be released, because the sentiment is building right now that when this negotiation period, this hostage ceasefire with the 33 hostages is complete, that we will go back to war, and we will go back to kill Hamas, and we will go back to get the hostages, the IDF to go back and get the hostages themselves. Now, I know that's been unsuccessful in the past. We've had a war going on for a whole year. They've only been able to release a few hostages. But something has just changed, and it has to do with the way this negotiation has been unfolding and the way the hostages have been released. If you watch the news reports, you see the hostages being paraded up on a stage, and there's a whole bunch of these Hamas fighters all dressed up, dark glasses on, faces are being covered in their best uniforms, the green bandana up over their head, and acting very tough. And when they first look, it looks like Hamas is very well established, and they are escorting these hostages and making a big deal out of them. We have learned two things from that. First of all that is stage propaganda. Guess who's helping Hamas put that together? Al Jazeera, the news agency that is the Arab news agency that was kicked out of Israel, who had been complicit in having terrorists part of their reporters for Al Jazeera. So Al Jazeera is right in there with Hamas, counseling them on how to do this propaganda thing. So that propaganda is going on. It looks like Hamas is still a viable force, and it looks like they're this magnanimous release of the hostages taking place. It's all fake. It turns out that another reporter, investigative reporter from another nation, has gotten in there and found out what's going on. And they've discovered that there's a shadow unit within Hamas that's controlling all the hostages. There is a central element that controls the hostages. They're being held by that shadow unit, and they're being used as human shields to protect themselves from Israel coming in and striking the leadership of that. That's the reason why you keep hearing reports about hostages being held by Palestinian civilians. That happens to be the home of these shadow unit elements, and they're keeping them in their homes to protect them so that if Israel ever finds out who they are, they won't come in and bomb their home to take them out because they know there's hostages being held by them. Israel is now learning about that group and who they are. I can assure you that while Hamas was putting on this stage and this show for the rest of the world, Israeli intelligence was working overtime to find out exactly who those guys are and where are they. So there is kind of a move afoot about maybe things have changed and Israel may be able to militarily do things they couldn't do before as a result of the release of the existing hostages. Plus, the hostages that have been returned are sharing very important intelligence about how they were held, how they've been treated, who they came into contact with, where they were taken, how the operation of holding hostages is taking place. They have a whole new bunch of intel on that, and I think that information is going in and emboldening the Israeli government. Maybe they have other choices about how to resolve this conflict in Gaza. As I said to you before, the phase two negotiations are supposedly underway in Doha. Egyptian representatives, Qatar has gone there, and there is representatives from the U.S., Mr. Witkoff, who's overseeing things for Mr. Trump, President Trump, along with representatives from Israel. But as I said to you before, the representatives from Israel have been told they're only to have discussions about the release of hostages in the present ceasefire. They're not participating in the discussions for phase two. Once the hostages are released and the IDF completely withdraws from Gaza, as is specified in this agreement, the next question is, what's going to happen next? And I think we're getting ready to see some big changes take place. First of all, the Palestinians that are being permitted to go back into the areas where they've been pushed out because of the war, particularly all those people that went back into northern Gaza, they're coming back in and they're discovering there's no homes. There's no buildings left. It's rubble. It's just big, giant piles of concrete and rebar, and there's no more homes or buildings. There's no more civil support. There's no water. There's no sewer system. There's no electricity. How in the world are you supposed to live there? The aid trucks are coming in, and that's the only thing that is sustaining those people while they park in some tents up there. The aid trucks are hauling water and food in there at the moment, but that is unsustainable for those people, and that's really what Trump is saying. Those people can't stay in Gaza. It's not workable for them. Back in Israel proper, the IDF is continuing to deal with terrorists and unrest in the Palestinian cities in Samaria, cities of Jenin and Tukrim and so forth. More IDF units have moved in. There are constant firefights. In fact, Israel has been doing airstrikes on some of those areas, and they are killing dozens of terrorists in those cities in the West Bank. That is like a little Gaza war going on at the moment, and that's still going on daily. So what's happening in Lebanon with Hezbollah? Well, Hezbollah has been doing, violating the ceasefire at various junctures, little groups of things have been done, trying to fire drones and so forth. And Israel is very insistent that no more drones come flying out of there, or missiles or rockets. And these infractions being carried out by Hezbollah, Israel is responding directly to them. And in fact, Israel has been launching multiple airstrikes over the course of this last year, killing more Hezbollah operatives, you'd think there's a ceasefire, but right now it's called, I guess you'd call it whack-a-mole. Every time Hezbollah rears up, they get hit by Israel. They are planning, though, a big burial ceremony for Nasrallah. Nasrallah was the big leader of Hezbollah. I think they're doing this to try to propagandize and try to encourage the Hezbollah operatives by putting on a big show to bury Nasrallah, because the reports are that Hezbollah, their spirit is completely broken, that they no longer are believing in the cause that they had been led to believe against Israel, and now it's a case of that they're in ruins and they're trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do next, which is okay with Israel because that stops missiles and drones from flying into Israel. So what's happening in Yemen with the Houthi rebels? Well, they've been trying to launch more drones, and they're still harassing shipping that's in the Red Sea and in the Gulf of Aden. And so Israel has been doing additional strikes, shooting down the drones that come flying over there. U.S. Navy forces are also attacking those, and they're going into the point of nailing down the ports and all the methods and ways in which Iran can offer supplies to them and support them. Iran is now blocked from supporting Hamas. They're blocked from supporting Hezbollah, and they're cutting off, blocking them to support the Houthi rebels, which is the strategy that has been breaking the axis of resistance that Iran tried to put against Israel. This week, Trump put back on the maximum pressure sanctions. What does that mean? That means that Iran doesn't get to sell oil anymore. China has been buying Iranian oil for the last couple of years, and basically what Trump has now said is no more. China can go buy oil somewhere else. They're going to dry up the spigots of oil for Iran. That's their source of revenue coming in to be able to maintain their hostile actions against Israel and the United States forces, and basically he's cutting off all their money. It's very clear now that the axis of resistance that Iran tried to build around Israel has been completely broken. But the latest word is that Iranian scientists are looking to build a crude nuclear weapon. By that I mean they don't quite have everything they knew to build a real modern nuclear weapon that can be mounted on a missile or carried by an airplane, so to speak. What they're looking to do is build a crude, basic atomic bomb, like the bomb that the U.S. built that used on Japan, something like that. A very large, massive device, which isn't very deployable. But they're looking to build one with the idea in mind that they say they have one, and they think that will be a deterrent against anyone attacking them, and they are fearful that Israel is going to come and take out their entire program, or the U.S. could do the same. So they're thinking that might be a strategy. We'll build this crude weapon that'll be a deterrent against that. I'm not sure that strategy is going to work at all, because the U.S. and Israel has clearly stated that if Iran makes the decision to build a bomb, and by the way, this crude weapon, they haven't made the decision yet. They're just looking at the technology of how to do it. As soon as they find out they're going to do it, at that moment, Trump has said the U.S. will prohibit them from doing it. Israel has said they will not tolerate them doing it. That would be the trigger that would cause strikes to come from Israel as well as the United States on Iran. So the latest word is, and we've been trying to get Iran to make a path to negotiate as opposed to do more hostile intent. Move away from your nuclear program. Let's negotiate. Let's be at peace. Well, while they've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks, yesterday, Khomeini, the leader in Iran, said that it's not worth talking to the U.S. Nothing will be accomplished. And so he's turned down the idea of diplomacy for Iran. With that said, the only thing that's left is for Iran to go ahead and make the decision to build a crude nuclear weapon. If they make that decision, that's the green light for Israel to go in and take the whole place out. Now, the weapons in this package that have just been delivered by the U.S., these 1,000-pound bombs, these 2,000-pound bombs with the kits, Israel has the ability to go in and destroy all nuclear sites inside of Iran. Whether or not the United States decides to go in and help, that's another matter. I will tell you this, that the weapon of choice to take out the Iranian nuclear sites, that is, the United States has the penetrators that will get down at the level where those nuclear sites are at. They have those weapons. But Israel now has the weapons to basically shut down their whole system and set them back for many, many years. Basically take those underground sites and slam the door shut, and they're not going to be able to open that door for a long time. Here in the U.S., our new president, and he's been in office now for a couple of weeks, he's shaking up the status quo. And in fact, through the Doge element that is working with Elon Musk and the president, they're uncovering collusion and corruption and the misspending of money for ridiculous reasons. And the American people are absolutely loving it. In fact, there is overwhelming support for the president, what's going on. But the poor Democrats and the liberal elements in our country, the previous administration we had here, they are crying in their milk because they are losing all that money that they had a slush fund going to all their friends. And the ridiculousness and the absurdity of what our government used to be doing and the overwhelming, incredible nonsense that was going on is finally coming to a stop. Literally, we have uncovered that the U.S. government was helping the enemies of Israel and our own enemies in the under the name of social issues and DEI. And whereas their belief and their vision and their philosophy that they had in the liberal elements, they were funding anything and everything around the world. And now the president is stopping that under the banner of we're going to treat America first and we're going to have a money's going to aid to other countries and to other projects that supports this country instead of these other nonsensical things going on. Let me explain very briefly what not only what President Trump is doing in this country, he's done the same thing for Israel and for Netanyahu's government. This week, the State Department has stated that the support for Israel is, quote, unqualified. Unqualified. What exactly does that mean? That means that the United States government is moving towards solving the Middle East peace problem by basically telling Israel it's your nation, telling the Palestinians and the Palestinian Authority, if you want to be citizens of that nation, sign up and be good citizens because there's not going to be a Palestinian state. We are not going to support Palestinians setting up compounds in Gaza or the West Bank or any other place so they can continue to attack the citizens of Israel. Those days are gone. Now, if you don't want to live in peace with Israel in their nation, then get up and leave. And so the president is giving full support. That means that Judea and Samaria are no longer going to be the West Bank. They're going to be Israel. Well, folks, that also means something that we are paying particular close attention to. What about Jerusalem and the Temple Mount? Now, nobody's saying anything yet, but if Israel becomes one state and there is going to be no Palestinian state, that means the Temple Mount belongs to Israel. And already, Pete Hegseth has hinted at it would be a good thing if the Jewish people were allowed to go on the Temple Mount and worship the Lord as well and possibly rebuild their temple. And the president has said that they are advocating freedom of religion and that Israel should have the right to be able to pray where they want to pray, just like any other religion has the right. And he even made an announcement here in the United States that the U.S. government will no longer oppress Christians and Jews in this country and is not going to tolerate it anymore. That means all those anti-Jewish protests that are taking place on college campuses, he's not going to accept any of it anymore. and the hostile activities of, say, for example, the IRS toward nonprofit Christian organizations and churches, that's going to stop. Those are unbelievable and major changes that are taking place right now. And as far as I'm concerned, this is as earth-shaking taking place right now as anything that we saw back in 1993 when they put together the Middle East Peace Accord themselves. We have completely reversed that policy and are going in a completely new direction. Now, part of what I do in this program is I give you an assessment of what's going on in the Middle East and how does it affect the prophetic scenario. As I've shared with you before, the prophetic scenario toward the end of the age calls for that the people of Israel will be in the land of Israel. We have that. It calls for them to be in Jerusalem. In 2017, President Trump put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, calling Jerusalem the capital of Israel. It also calls for Israel to be on the Temple Mount, to have an operating altar with priests doing the daily sacrifice. The steps that we now see that are taking place could well open the door for Israel to be on the Temple Mount praying with an altar, doing the daily sacrifice, in how soon? A year? 2 years? Well, at the speed that President Trump is moving right now in the United States, I don't put anything past him. I think things could be happening real quickly in Israel as well, because what's going on in Israel is just as profound as what's going on in our own country right here in the United States. So, as we've been praying for Israel in the past in the Middle East, it appears that God's been listening to our prayers, is trying to find a path for peace for all of the people that are over there. Continue to pray for Israel, for the Middle East. Pray for the remaining hostages to come home soon. Pray for our nation, for our president. Things are changing, and they appear to be moving in the right direction for a change. Thank you for viewing this program. I have another announcement to share with you, some news that we just recently got. You know, Lion of Lamb Ministries, we do this podcast thing here, Messianic World Update. And if you check us out, you'll find out we have a whole 5 different current series that are going on in our podcast. And we just got word, it was just sent to us this week. Apparently, there's an organization called Good Pods. This is an organization that monitors different broadcasts that are out on the internet and what they're doing. And we just got a letter from them that said that we had debuted at number 50 in all podcasts that are going on under the category, are you ready for this, of Judaism. It turns out our podcasts are rated at number 50, reaching Jewish audiences. The news is stunning to us that this podcast is reaching out into the world and affecting my own brethren. And for that, I am thankful to God. You're going to see some future stuff about that on our broadcast. We're very pleased to hear that announcement. Lion of Lamb Ministries publishes a free magazine every month. It's called Yavo. He is coming. This happens to be the latest issue. This is free. If you're not getting this, all you have to do is go to the ministry website or call the office, ask for your free subscription to it, and we can send it one of two ways. We can electronically send it to you through an email, and you actually, it's a flip page email where it actually shows you the real magazine in it, or we can send you the hard copy right to your P.O. box or your mailbox there at your home. We'd love to have you subscribe to lionoflamb.tv. We always have new programs coming out and specials being added in the coming weeks. Our new program, The Lion's Share, is now out. It comes out every 2 weeks with an interview of different people in the faith. And we just concluded part of my long-term testimony. If you want to learn about more about the ministry and my ministry and so forth, you can go and view that program. So with that said, Shabbat Shalom to all of you.